We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
So hope everyone had a good holiday weekend. Absolutely beautiful Chamber of Commerce weather. Spent as much time outside as you were able to do. And you were at the ballpark on Sunday. And Shane was at the ballpark on the south side last night.
Yeah, two different ballparks, both active with baseball yesterday.
I was not able to get out there, but Owen has asked to go to another Cubs game, so I will take him soon.
Yeah, very nice.
He's very excited to go back for the hot dog and the peanuts.
Ruben only likes to go to Sox games when there's free giveaways.
Yeah, famously.
To get Sox jackets that he's not allowed to wear around the house.
Yeah. Is he wearing it yet? I mean, it has been too good a weather, I guess, to wear.
It's been taken to his mother's house.
It's
somewhere else.
So the problem has left the house.
He's definitely becoming a double kid.
Oh, no.
Stop dropping your odds. Yeah. There, yeah. The Southie.
Of course.
But that's okay.
Sure. Well, it's not the point for now. maybe it's okay. Maybe it's not okay.
I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it later.
You deal with that later.
Yeah.
I was thinking about an alternate world where I have nothing to do, no responsibilities, still live in the city, no children, etc. And I wake up and I realize that it's a perfect day to do the baseball doubleheader.
The red line doubleheader. Yesterday was the second opportunity of the year. There was another day in April.
Yes.
Where the possibility for a red line doubleheader was there.
And that's a special Chicago thing.
It's pretty damn cool.
Obviously, New York has two teams, but not nearly as many day games. And the relative ease of going from ballpark to ballpark with the same public transit unit going from that stadium to the other stadium.
It's insane.
Is singular to Chicago.
It absolutely is. Like, how the hell would you get from Citi Field to Yankee Stadium? You'd have to drive or take public transport and connect three different times.
Yeah, there'd be a transfer. Yeah. There'd be some transfers going on. So I'm not totally familiar with the New York subway system. I know that you can do it, but
I could ride a divvy bike from one to the other.
That's
my King
Bleep.
King, way of getting around.
King Bleep. I'd be interested in talking to someone who did it, because obviously you do not know this on the front end, 312-644-6767, but you ended up seeing one of the best pitched games in recent Cubs history by Marcus Stroman, one hit shutout against the best team in baseball, and then you see Liam Hendricks' return from stage 4 lymphoma. On the same day.
That's pretty remarkable.
Like, that is an unbelievable. So it's not just that you could see 18 innings of baseball. And I know the Sox did not win their game. So it's not like you could even say you saw wins on both sides. But in terms of memories of this season, there's a really good shot that those will be two of the best moments on either side of town. Liam's will obviously be the best moment that either team has this year. And Stroman is looking fairly likely that that's going to be a top moment for the Cubs this year.
And also, like, you could have looked at the matchups and planned it out and know you're going to see Trout and Ohtani along with the White Sox at night.
Right, so best team in baseball.
Best team in baseball during the day with Tampa.
Best players in baseball at night.
Yeah. I mean, it's screaming. I did not even consider it as an option. I was hanging around with family. What a terrible choice that was.
I did it once when I was 23, when I was living by Wrigley. Saw blowouts. nothing special about either, but it was just a lot of beers were consumed.
Me and my dad did it and beat the crap out of an umpire on the field.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yeah.
William Legault Jr.
That was you.
Yeah,
nice
was
to
me and
see
my
dad. And he was
you.
William Legault Sr.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
That was the night of a double of it a was. Red line doubleheader.
Yeah, they were doing a red line doubleheader.
I forgot they were at both.
Yeah, yeah. It was like I'm not a big fan of wearing team propaganda, not propaganda paraphernalia, whatever
apparel,
a team apparel to a stadium where that team is not playing.
Of course,
like it looked very silly to see so many Cubs jerseys in the crowd last night, but it was an electric crowd. And it was just a bunch of people enjoying baseball that had enjoyed baseball earlier in the day, too.
So you
it was
did,
very cool.
You it, did
it,
see a lot of Cubs.
Filled with Cubs jerseys last night.
Wow.
Filled with them. There were like 15 people in my immediate 25, 30 feet that also had gone to the Cub game that day.
And so, those people enjoy Chicago in the summer, great weather, baseball, Trout Ohtani, whatever the reason is.
Perfect day.
Hell, and maybe you realize it in the sixth inning of the Cubs game. And like, wait a minute.
We should just go.
We don't want the fun to end. Mm-hmm. Let's just hop on the train and go.
And the bookend of like going to Murphy's before the Cub game at like 11:30 noon and then finishing after the Sox game at Cork, the happiest place on earth. Like that is the perfect Chicago day. And I'm very disappointed that I did not go to the Cub game yesterday. I'm two blocks from the park. I didn't go.
Did you consider it?
Yeah, I considered it.
Ugh.
I didn't want to watch Miles Mastroboni leading off and getting 4 or 5 at bats.
David Ross.
What's his name? Is Miles?
Miles Mastroboni.
Yeah, you nailed it.
So David Ross's lineup choice made you not go to the ball game.
Yeah, and if I were on with Dan and Layla today, I would have told David that. I'm sorry, Rossi.
that'd be big of you. I'm sure he would. he would take that to heart. And
David, I didn't go today.
Who is this
of
guy?
Who you decided to lead off?
Who's this guy? Who's talking to me? Screw this guy. It's not why I'm talking to you, people.
Nico's sharing with us that he's back leading off. So, little bit of news. I don't know if the Cubs lineup's out yet, but good job by Nico giving us the news.
Giving us a little bit of news.
He gets it. He just gets it.
Giving us the news this time.
That is
an awesome thing that was there for you. And like the thing that I was saying on Friday's show about when you leave that game, if you would have seen a no-hitter, it's memorable. If you don't see a no-hitter, it's another baseball game. And that's why I would root for history if I was there. That would have been an opportunity yesterday to do something. How many times has there been a cooler day-night, single-day, red-line doubleheader in this city's history?
You're making me want to look at the history of the red-line doubleheader and what possibly could match what that ended up being with a dominant one-hit shutout against the best team in baseball, followed by a player coming back from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma with incredible emotion. I can't imagine that there's something.
But I mean, the fan, the father and son storming the field against the umpire.
The Legues.
Is something that is referenced all of the time.
So I was there that night at the end of my red line doubleheader.
Yeah.
Would you rather have been there or at last night's double?
Interesting. I think last night's double.
You think so?
I think so.
But you're not sure.
Better baseball, but more memorable. I don't know. No, last night's double for sure. But if you know someone that did it, that's an awesome thing. I'd be interested in talking to them at 312-644-6767.
And it's the last opportunity of the season to do it. There is not another one. So
that's a bummer.
There's only
two opportunities this year to do it unless there's a rain delayed day game or something
Apparently just two opportunities to do
it. I don't like that.
And there are a couple days where they're both playing and they're both home, but the game times are similar. Maybe we'll get...
Just switch back and forth each inning.
You could not, but you could start. You could see the first half someplace and go to the second half the other place. It limits your beer consumption, though. Quite a bit. You're losing a lot of time for beers if you're traveling in the middle.
And I mean, you got to just have beers on the red line.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's the move in that spot.
I had a beer on the red line yesterday. I felt like such a rebel. I walked down with my can of High Life. I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. I don't care.
Now,
I remember you kind of like got a little like narky about me having a beer outside, and you're like, I don't know if you could do this, man.
Where?
Open container outside here.
Outside here?
Yeah, when we were getting ready to get in the Uber to go to...
Yeah, I said you shouldn't have an open beer in the car.
That's different.
Outside of the sidewalk, dude, you're getting into somebody's Uber.
No, it was just about being out down there.
No, that's not what I was saying at all. We were up here, and you opened the beer before we went to the airport. I said...
Oh, don't bring it in the guy's car.
Yeah, I said, don't bring that in the Uber.
Oh, I thought you were worried about the open container out on the...
I drink on the street all the time. I wouldn't be able to get through my walks with Willie if I didn't have some Beam in my Yeti.
Okay. Yeah, no, I... How do you do anything? How do you do anything sober?
I don't know.
It's difficult. That's difficult. All right. So last time of the year, we should. We have a lot of ideas for show outings, and like one out of five of them we follow through on. But next year, let's look at the schedule.
Pick a red line doubleheader.
See if there is a weekend red line doubleheader, and spend a lot of time together outside of work.
Just check with all of our wives and kids, especially Shane.
Yeah, and spend 8 to 9 hours together on a Saturday.
Can we just opt out of it now?
Yeah, all right. I got plans.
See?
I'm going to be busy.
It's that difficult.
I'm golfing that day.
You could bring, it would be a lovely, lovely thing to do. Texture says that usually brings a second shirt. When that happens, so he doesn't have to show up at the second game with the jersey that he was wearing the first game. That's a lot to travel with, though.
You could just wear non-team apparel and wear one shirt.
It's true.
You could go that route. But then that person is a Cubs and a Sox fan. They're not just going because of the baseball.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be pro-Chicago.
I could wear my Chicago flag baseball shirt and play it down the middle like that.
Well, not if you go with Christine.
She'd
be very upset. Honey, I'm playing it down the middle.
God. I'm questioning a lot of things in my life.
The marriage or the decision to share?
Just a lot of things.
You're questioning a lot. I'll stop asking follow-ups.
Danny, woke up yesterday morning.
Yes, sir.
And realized, I realized that as I started to do post-game on Sunday after that horrific Cubs third loss to the Reds, and I looked down and I saw the Cubs at that point had the worst record in the National League and the fourth worst record in all of baseball. One of the only three teams worse than them at that point was the Chicago White Sox. So the fourth and third worst records in baseball. As we stand now, each team is the third worst in its own league. This is ugly. This is a very ugly and rough baseball moment, and I don't like it. It's making me grumpy. It's making me unhappy. It's making me not want to talk to you.
I can see that. Does it make you feel any better?
About what?
That this week we have a mini camp. We got Bears practice.
And Wani's going to be there tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Wani's going tomorrow to stand with Eberflus. Yeah. And
that make you feel any better?
He'll be here with us on Thursday.
We can make it
break it down.
We can make it football season. You want to make it football season?
No.
I'm just offering.
It's definitely still baseball season.
I'm just offering up. Pull the ripcord.
Okay.
We can get out of baseball season if you want it to be football season.
That's not the only thing. Thursday night, we have the NBA Finals.
Thursday night, we have
the NBA Finals. Saturday night, Shane told me that's when the NHL Finals start. Because he is pumped for the legendary traditional hockey matchup of Las Vegas versus Florida.
Yeah, I remember my grandpa telling me about all the Las Vegas, Florida games.
Big games.
Matches?
I believe it's
Panthers Knights. You throw out the record books.
Yeah, it's the Maple Leafs and the Senators.
You don't throw
I
out the record books. You throw out the records when they come together.
Throw out the books too, just in case.
You don't throw out the
It's all online now, man.
I think the phrase is "throw out the
record
books."
I think he's right about that.
I think you throw out the records, like the records of that year.
No.
You don't throw out the record books.
What you're saying is what it should be. What I'm saying is what it is.
Yeah, no, throwing out the record books.
I think you throw out the record
books. Hey, I heard one last night. I think somebody was talking about, hit that one on the screws. Does that come from old golf wooden drivers, like wooden woods that had the actual screws in it? Is that what that comes from?
I don't know. if that's where it comes from. I'm sorry, I've disappointed you.
Yeah, you really tremendously. You're my guy for these things.
And did wooden clubs have screws?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Because hitting it on the screws is a good thing. I think hitting it on the screw of a golf club would be a bad thing.
I don't know. Maybe you get extra strength there.
No, but like the center of the club, the sweet spot doesn't have a screw. Even if it was made of wood. Are you Googling where does hit them on the screws?
Why, yes, I am.
I am.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Shane, you take care of it.
For some reason, thehindu.com, which is like an Indian newspaper, is the top source on Google for this.
Well, maybe there's a cricket tie-in for hitting it on the screws. Maybe it's translated from Indian.
They got a paywall, though.
I doubt it. Here's one. Yes, hitting it on the screws in golf, and it's a picture of a wooden three-wood, the wooden club head, and there were screws down the middle that protected the integrity of the wooden club head from repeated high-speed impacts with the golf ball.
Okay.
So you wanted to hit it on the screws.
Back when woods were woods.
Yeah, that's right.
Back when men were men and woods were woods. And the record books were not thrown out.
And the sheep were scared. That's what they were.
Texter says September 27th, 2001. Can you fact check this, Shane? Harold Baines' last home Sox game during the day. Cubs' first home game after 9/11 with Sammy holding the flag and the home run.
Wow.
At night was a red line doubleheader September 27th, 2001.
That is a phenomenal call if that's the case.
I have no idea if it's true, but the text was too good not to read.
The Cubs lost that game 6-5 to the Astros.
Okay.
And it's a Sammy flag holding game. And
that would be better than yesterday. As a memorable baseball doubleheader day in town. I mean, the Liam thing is obviously the best individual story, but Sammy as a national and international celebrity post 9/11, a national event, that would have been.
That was it. Yeah, 1 o'clock game for the White Sox against the Twins. They won it 9-3, and the Cubs were 7-20 against the Astros.
Yeah, great pull by the texter.
That is a tremendous pull.
That's got to be the gold standard of red line doubleheaders. Then, with I'd say
yesterday
second,
right,
and the first base coach getting charged.
Tom Gamboa
would be third.
Is he alive, Tom Gamboa, the Royals' first base coach? Because he doesn't deserve that for paragraph one of the old epitaph. Got his ass kicked by a father and son on the south side as part of a red line doubleheader.
We had 17 beers because the alcohol cutoff did not apply when you go to two games.
Cubs got 18 players into that game.
In
the
2001?
Sosa game?
Yeah.
All right.
18 players.
That's a fun fact.
I'm looking
that's
at the box.
Fact,
the
Daniel
box
Norris.
Here. They're like,
oh, no,
they're like
the move.
Six pinch hitters.
I know what you meant.
Who says it's a good stat?
Justin Steele, who is totally in for coming on the show and talking about sound bites.
Yes. This is our dream.
I talked to him on Sunday in the club and said, hey, Justin, you got a minute? And explained to him how first I gave him a stat, and he said, that's a cool stat, and that became a soundbite. And then explained it to him how he talked about soundbites and said, I like soundbites, they get me going, and how that became a soundbite. And
okay.
He laughed, and then I said, we just want to have you on. We don't even want to talk pitching. We just want to play soundbites for you. He's like, I'm in, man. I'm in. I really do like him. And he told me some football podcast that he listens to where they use a lot of
that's a really cool stat. Thanks for sharing that with me.
I was the first one.
Was it first in pod?
No, it was not one. Percent.
How amazing would that have been?
Yeah, I'll listen to this podcast with Danny Parkins and Andrew Filippone.
Yeah. We don't do a ton of drops. But so what podcast did he say does all the drops?
I think it's called SGP or something. It's a football betting podcast.
Okay.
Which I assume he is then betting completely legally on. Nowhere near the Cubs clubhouse.
Yeah, right. Okay. Interesting.
And he's not in the NFL, so he's not in danger.
So it's okay.
So it's all right. Okay.
Yeah, good talk. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. But right. he's totally down for that. You know, the thing is, like, I know Harold Baines' last home game. I forget the context of whether people knew it was Harold Baines' last home game. I mean, they probably did. But, like, what Stroman did yesterday cannot be understated in terms of the largesse of it. The scarcity of it these days, and like what you would do if you could pick one thing for your slumping ball club to, you know, to give you a reset, to give you a mental shift, would you rather have a 10-0 win or a 10-2 win where the whole offense is cooking? I don't know. Having a guy go out there and just do that when everybody knows that you need it desperately, that's a pretty phenomenal distraction and phenomenal mental reset, you would hope, for those guys. It's a big deal.
Well, I don't know about 6-0 or 1-0. You know, what you're saying makes sense. I mean, Nikos gave some voice to wish we would have given him a little bit more run support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I do think that they could have used a laugher at some point. But in terms of tension and watchability and memorability of the game, the fact that it was 1-0 and he was getting the ball for the ninth and they – you don't really trust anyone else to get the ball, so giving it to him, right? It definitely felt bigger because he went the whole way. If they're up 6-0, maybe they pull him after 8 and just let someone else mop it up.
Yeah, I mean, nobody else should have been trusted, yes, but he was under 100 pitches when he got the ball. He very much wanted the complete game last time when he was so awesome and said, I want it more than anything, to be honest with you. And so he did have the chance to do it, and it's just – to do that against the best team in baseball, like that is a big, big accomplishment. And it felt like some serious OG stuff for Marcus Stroman.
It did. And Dan bristled when I said you got to extend him. If the options are, let the year play out and do the comp pick thing or try to extend him in the offseason.
Because he's got a player option, which he's widely expected to opt out of.
Yeah, he will opt out of it. I mean, assuming health, right? Unless he blows out his arm in the second half of the season, knock on wood, right? Mm-hmm. Like, other than that, there'd be no reason for him not to opt out. So play it out, extend him, or trade him. If you trade him and assume he's still pitching very well, you get a few big-time prospects, right? A couple. I don't know that this lines up with what they're trying to do. Like, you're supposed to win next year. Now, if they come to the conclusion that they're not winning next year, then maybe. But if you think that you have a team after another offseason of spending and with Brown and Davis and PCA and whatever combination of prospects get called up for next year, if you think you're contending next year,
then they have to keep
them. I don't see a path from here to there with Marcus Stroman not on the team next year, just based on like the free agent class of pitchers. That's the question. Do they still believe that they've got the bones of a team that can compete from day one next year? If the answer to that is yes, I think you are keeping Marcus Stroman. If the answer to that is no, then you should trade Marcus Stroman, and you are going to have a hell of a time explaining that to this fan base.
Yeah, and they don't have to decide yet, obviously.
No, I know, but he is talking about an extension.
That's the thing. Like, it's out there. The report is out there with Ken Rosenthal the day before, and then he comes out and does that back it up.
He's talking about it on the record.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's like, I want to be here. I want to sign an extension. I don't want to hit free agency.
Oh, by the way, this is how good I can be when you need me desperately.
Yeah. So do you agree with my at least analysis of it? I know we've got time to see and more starts and how they play and all of that, but I think that analysis of if you're contending, if your plan is to contend starting from day one next year, he has to be here. If you don't think that that's in play because of guys underperforming or whatever, then I think you have to trade him.
Well, and that would be a massive admission. Yeah.
Massive
admission of your own failure to build something that is ready in a realistic time. We all know that this year has the potential to be a bonus year and all of that, and they've talked and acted in a way where they were leaving themselves wiggle room to declare in either direction. But next year is very much supposed to be a contention year. So that'd be a big, big shift to trade away from that.
Want to ask you a question about the Cubs before that Stroman game over the weekend. We'll get to some of your play-by-play happenings. Jason Benetti at 4:30. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Critics call it Empire meets Nashville meets Succession.
Afternoons on the Score.
So I know you just want to talk about Stroman and Liam Hendricks and nothing else about baseball in town.
Yeah, no, that's it.
I understand what you're trying
to do. Yesterday was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. And the Hendricks, it was just good that he got there. The results didn't matter either.
Okay. So when we've talked about the Cubs this year.
It's not what you're going to do.
It's not what I'm going to do. No, it's 90 minutes into the show. When we've talked about the Cubs this year.
Yeah. And Danny, I said their floor is 80 wins.
You said their floor is 80 wins.
Sure did. Doubled down on that less than a week ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think you like quadrupled down on it a week ago. You've had many opportunities to change your tune on that, and you haven't. And I admire sticking to the take. I do. But when I push back on it, sometimes it's about you not knowing what a floor is, and okay. But other times,
yeah,
you're like, well, when I watch the games, I see a good product.
Okay.
And I'm like, huh. I know he's the baseball guy, but I'm watching the games too, and I sometimes don't.
Do you feel condescended to when I say
do.
I watch the games?
It implies that you are watching the games that I am not watching the games, or that you have some sort of special feed of a different game than I am. Here's my question.
I have a pair of glasses that are really awesome that I could share with you.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Are you playing a good brand of baseball if 60% of your starting rotation has been bad and your bullpen has been bad?
Well,
and your outfield defense hasn't been good?
Would you say the outfield defense hasn't been good? When Bellinger's been out there, it's been great. I think Tuchman's pretty good.
But he hasn't.
I think Morel has been a adventure either in right or left, unfortunately.
Hap does not
have a position.
Hap has not winning a gold glove this year.
It was a weird move for them to use Daryl Boston as a consultant this year for their outfield defense.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I know you mentioned to me that Hap's defensive runs saved are bad, but when I watch Hap, I don't see a guy misplaying balls. I don't feel like that fits the eye test that I'm watching.
I feel like I've seen a few, but even regardless, like the numbers are not good, and obviously Bellinger not being out there is big, but you'd like to. Their infield defense has been everything as advertised. Their catching defense has been everything that's been advertised. Obviously, Seiya was hurt for a while. And Bellinger is hurt, and they don't have a real backup there for Bellinger, right? If they're going to try to be playing Morel, it's...
Yeah, Tuchman is a much better backup outfielder and probably should have been up at the beginning and not Mastroboni, but that was a Nick Madrigal situation,
but,
I think.
But quibbles on any one individual player aside...
So like, what's the question? Are they any good?
Is it really a good brand of baseball?
Not if lately.
If 40% of the starting rotation isn't good, and games, 33% of games at a minimum, are pitched by relief pitchers. Starters do not go longer than six innings. I know Stroman did yesterday, and I understand that, and he's been amazing, and Smiley's been great, and Steele has been great in the aggregate of the entire season.
Uh-huh.
Recent outings by Smiley and Steele, notwithstanding, but like, if a 30-year innings are going to bad pitchers, which is what the Cubs bullpen has been, and 40% of your starts are going to Tyone, who's been bad, or Wesneski, who was demoted, or whatever the case may be, like, so they've been bad. I don't know, man. I don't really think it's been that good of a brand of baseball a third of the way into the season.
When I say in terms of the brand of baseball, I am talking a lot about the defense and hitting cutoff men and paying attention to detail and being on point and communicating with all of that. So I'm talking about that overall effect on run prevention. And I think overall that had been very good for the beginning of the year and even into this bad stretch. What they started out 12-7, then they went 10-23 after that. Woof. And then won yesterday to be where they are. Over the last 10 days, and certainly that whole Red Series, I saw a really ugly brand of baseball. So, no, that they have not been played. They were outclassed by the Reds in every freaking facet. And in the game that I did on Sunday, watching them, you had Patrick Wisdom bumping into Yan Gomes on a pop-up right in front of the plate. Gomes still made the catch, but that was ugly. There's another pop-up that Mancini had to go a long way for. Gomes had a shorter distance to go, and they weren't communicating. That's why I asked the question to Nico about, like, you know, when you're slumping, sometimes you see guys lose focus or whatever, or, like, be a little pouty or that kind of thing. Sunday looked bad, man. And Drew Smyly's body language was not good on the mound on Sunday. Coom had said during the game at one point that that pop-up where Wisdom crashed into Saya was on Smyly. That Smiley's got to be the one getting there and calling it out and saying, hey, hey, catcher, or whatever. Like, those kinds of things. And when you're slumping, those kind of things can start to fall apart and make things even worse. So that shook me. It shook me on quality of play. That four-game stretch, the last one with the Mets and the ugly red sweep to a team that was clearly hungrier, more athletic, more energetic, more confident, that you had been ahead of in the standings, and now you're behind. That shook my my confidence in the whole damn thing.
Yeah, because I good. Like, I'm glad we have a little bit more of like a clear distinction of like good brand of baseball translates largely to defense, and that's because
defense and run prevention.
Yeah.
So,
well,
and
Dansby and Nico have been great at it. They had the stat on the broadcast yesterday. They're both like fifth in baseball in defensive runs saved or outs. Mm-hmm. I think it was outs above average is how they characterized it on the broadcast. So, like, up the middle infield defense has been great.
Yeah.
And Bellinger, when he was healthy, is great. But I saw a quote from Carter Hawkins over the weekend that it's still a couple of weeks away.
2 weeks. Two more weeks.
And it's already been a couple of weeks. And so, like, that's...
Carter couldn't have saved that for when he's on with us next Wednesday.
I understand why he didn't. That makes sense.
He could have saved it.
Yeah.
Selfish.
Play 10 more games and then give us the update.
Next Wednesday, we're going to have him jesting so hard.
He's going to be the hardest jester of all time.
Oh, God. So it doesn't even matter if there's news. It'll just be a lot of hard jesting.
Hopefully we get Justin Steele on before that to judge the jesting comment by Carter Hawkins. Who knows what could happen there. But you see what I'm saying, right?
Like,
because it isn't.
I think
just,
you're seeing an opportunity to come back at your boy, who you feel was condescending to you when he talked about watching the games.
Okay, but 12.
I understand.
But it's more than that, man. Like 12-7 to 23-30.
Yeah,
that is what. So that's 11-23. Uh-huh. So much larger sample of bad.
Yeah.
Than the very, very small sample
of good.
Of good.
I know. You know what I found myself thinking about was Kenny Rosenthal's piece about the value of team chemistry and what, like, the power of team chemistry was. And he wrote it when they, I think, were 11-7 or whatever they were at the time that he wrote it. And it was like, oh, yeah, how do you quantify that? You know, like, and all of that. And now here we are, and you're wondering if that team chemistry can rise back up and help them. It needs to. Something needs to.
Well, because again, it's just the division. That's the only thing we're talking about. Like, that's the only reason this is even a debate, which is why I don't love it. Like, if they were in a different division, or if the playoff structure was different, you know, like, if it really was, no. It's you play your divisions for scheduling purposes, for geography purposes, for rivalry purposes. But other than that, we're taking the best records. Thank you very much. We would not be debating whether or not the Cubs are a decent team.
Danny, tell me more about that Bears minicamp. That's a little bit later.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a little bit later in the week.
Did you see Jordan Love? He looked a little pudgy.
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't see the picture of Jordan Love?
I didn't see the picture.
Love?
He walked in chubby.
Jordan Love. No, he was
walking. Great big fat person.
He looked at a beach party of sorts. Like a Memorial Day barbecue, maybe. Uh-huh. Had the red solo cup, shirt was off, looked like he was having a great time.
Uh-oh.
But comparing him to my guy Justin Fields with the helmet visor and the shreddedness and the 16-pack, and I'm not talking about beers.
Yeah.
I'm talking about abdominal muscles.
Abdominal muscles.
I'm just saying.
What is Jordan Love bringing to the barbecue, by the way? A roll of paper towels? See the plates guy? Is he grabbing a bag of ice for the crew?
Don't knock the red solo cup and napkin guy. I've been that guy.
I assume you're exclusively that guy.
And 1 pound of shrimp. I believe he also brought 1 pound of shrimp.
Made some great scallops over the weekend.
He does not look pudgy. Does not look pudgy in this picture. People were up in arms about this.
I'm not saying up in arms. I'm just saying compared to our guy.
Oh, my God.
Our guy would win a shirts off contest against their guy. That's all I'm saying.
It reminds me of Roquan in the Ozarks a few years ago.
With that porn star?
No. Roquan looked like he was having a great time.
So does Jordan Love.
Yeah,
he's
but
having
Roquan
a good time.
Looked like he was having a better time.
But were you worried about Roquan when he was partying in the Ozarks, or was he just like a football player allowed to live his own life in the offseason?
He was on a boat with a porn star having a great time. Okay. I was happy for Roquan. This is, I'm just saying.
You're just hoping.
This is hope. This is hope traffic. Yes, that's what this is. Our quarterback is more cut than your quarterback.
Is it better
that
or worse
has to mean something
than doing ayahuasca in a quiet room for 3 days? For the quarterback,
I would take that quarterback. I would take that quarterback. Yeah, because he's awesome.
Oh, as a Packers fan, not a Bears fan. You mean?
Well, I mean, listen. Do I wish that Aaron Rodgers was a Bear for the last 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. Do I wish that Justin Fields could ever become 90% the player that Aaron Rodgers was? Yeah, I'd sign up for that right now.
I don't need to take away from your fun. I'm glad that you're enjoying this picture of Jordan Love having a good time and putting it next to the visor for Justin Fields.
I'm just saying, I got plenty of football takes for you. It's just a question of how much we want to pretend like because the NL Central and AL Central exists that these baseball teams are still competitive and relevant.
I knew I didn't want to come to work.
I'm just saying.
So sure.
You're like, oh, the brand of baseball, what they're doing, what I'm watching with my special baseball eyes. Oh, my special baseball eyes that tell me about run prevention. They're the worst team in the National League, dude.
No, they are third worst.
I know.
Third worst in the National League.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yep.
I know. And again,
they're not worse than Colorado.
No, they're not worse than Colorado.
I don't think so.
Congratulations. How would you describe what we're going to hear from your sixth inning?
Me making a terrible mistake and Ron Coomer exposing himself yet again as the ultimate partner.
I cannot wait. Now, this is why I came to work today. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I'm sorry about this afternoon.
Please, everyone be quiet.
Afternoons on the score.
Jason Benetti will join us at 4:30. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score. Quick postscript to the Marcus Stroman conversation. No comp pick attached to him. Thanks to James Fox for pointing that out. He's already had a qualifying option attached to him, offered to him before, so it can't happen again. So it's either extend him or trade him. That's how this is going to work for Marcus Stroman likely this year. So if you decide to not extend him but keep him, you are running the risk of losing him for nothing. And that's not what good organizations do. So I like to believe that the Cubs are a good organization still at their core, even if the results on the field have been vastly disappointing. So I will assume some movement one way or another on Stroman by the deadline.
That probably spells the end for Kyle Hendricks. If they were to keep Stroman or extend Stroman, you've got Tyone who you're paying as well. I'd be surprised if they pay three starters. I mean, unless Hendricks shows himself to be
big
remarkable.
Big discount.
Yeah. And if he's great starting tonight and onward. But it'd be tough for me to perceive of that. But we'll see.
All right, so you did your, 12th inning of big league regular season ball?
My 12th inning of big league regular season ball stretched out over 12 games over three seasons, which is a very normal way to get into any line of work, I think, in your 50s, to get into play-by-play. So, yeah, that was Sunday, and the fifth inning was freaking bananas in that one. Drew Smyly did not last very long. And in that inning, I had multiple relievers that were coming in. It was about a 45-minute inning.
Awesome.
Top and bottom. So that was super fun to get some action and stuff like that, of course.
Yeah, but when things happen, you've got to document the things that happened.
I did.
Good.
There's all kinds of documentation of things that are going on. Pinch hitters and pitchers coming in. And three different people walked, including an incredible 13-pitch at-bat from Kevin Newman against Jeremiah Estrada. But before that, it was Nick Senzel who was at the plate, and he was about to walk. It really seemed like he was about to walk.
As Jeremiah Estrada tries to escape this jam with just one run. The 3-2. Sorry, that's the 2-2. My mistake, folks. Now it's 3-2.
They did have 3-2 on the scoreboard, though. I will give you that.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I'll take it. Yeah. Ron, I will take it. Now this crowd realizes it's 3-2. And here it comes. Swung on and fouled away off to the right side.
So there was a walk after that. But wow. I was like, it's 3-2. Here's a ball. Why is this person not going to first base?
I know the rules of baseball. I have my special glasses that tell me what that is happening out here. Four balls, you're supposed to be on first base.
That's still the way we play, right? That's still what it is, everybody? Zach? Rich Wyatt? Coombe?
Not during your fifth.
How about Coombe having my back, though?
That's a great job.
Would Pat Hughes tell you to trust the scoreboard, or would he tell you to have the count on your notebook?
It's a good question. Because the scoreboard is always right over there.
Well, apparently not.
Except right there.
Yeah.
But I can't blame it. That's on me.
I think it's sabotage.
No, it's my job. I got to know.
How funny would that be? If there was like a conspiracy.
Yeah.
To mess with
Wrigley,
me.
The Wrigley scoreboard operator
it's
knows.
Probably Pat.
It's, oh, interesting.
I bet it's Hall of Famer Pat Hughes.
Pat's doing TV.
Is Shane going out of his way to badmouth Pat Hughes?
I would never. He's the sweetest man on the planet.
So that's
I've introduced
interesting.
Myself
so,
to him 10 times.
Pat's doing TV, but
he's been very kind every time. Right?
He just wants to make sure that there's no potential Wally Pipp situation, so he tells the scoreboard operator during the fifth inning and the fifth inning only when Speaks Zen to mess with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sabotage him.
That's what it seems like to me.
I mean, until we find out otherwise, I think
all I have to say is, ay caramba.
I think that's got to be what happened there.
I don't think he's got to worry about that.
I don't think he's got to worry about it either.
I mean, a boy could dream, but
sure.
You know.
Oh, wow. So now you're saying that you want to push Pat Hughes out.
Whoa!
Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not what I said.
I think it sounds like what he said.
I mean, he's going to be dead.
I think you're
not. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not, Tyler.
No matter how many times Shane has to introduce himself to him. No
He's
way.
He's not going to be dead,
He's
Tyler.
He's not going to. How dare you?
All right.
Man just
All
celebrated right. his 68th birthday and looks great.
And he will retire whenever he damn well pleases.
Whenever he wants.
And he's going into Cooperstown this year.
Yeah, Zach Zaidman's way in front of me anyway.
Well, but keep having some 45-minute innings. That's a lot of resume tape to put together.
Yeah,
that's true. You know, you don't get a lot of those anymore on the age of the pitch clock. So 45-minute innings, you'll start catching up.
Oh, what an opportunity!
And Buck is retired from baseball, so a couple more innings like that, and you'll catch him in terms of number of games broadcast.
he's done 24 World Series. Mm-hmm. I just have to get my first one very soon and live and broadcast 24 more years.
Live a long time.
I could totally catch
up. I think you could break that record.
Man, you know how good Coomer is? I learned like three different things about baseball that I didn't know just by standing behind him and working with him.
Yeah.
Some very, very intuitive stuff that man could see. There was one point, I think it was Jonathan India of the Reds, was leading off second base and thinking about maybe stealing third, because they were aggressive all weekend long, but he's like, you see his lead is straight to third? That's when he's thinking about stealing. If he was thinking about scoring, like instead, he'd widen out that lead so he's getting ready to go to third and turn the corner.
Makes sense.
But his lead is straight. Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. Next pitch, stolen base. Like immediately, just on it. And I'm like, why haven't I ever thought about that? I'm an idiot.
Angles.
Keep talking, Ron.
Yeah, that's a good analyst.
He's a smart guy.
That's a guy who sees the game.
Sees the game, reads the game, and just and gives you stuff. There's a lot to learn when you're hanging around that guy.
It's that stuff. That's the value of it.
Yep.
Right. Like
of the miles done.
Well, and like we are broadcasters, right? You can do it. I can fill in on marquee post game or whatever. Right. We are trained broadcasters who can speak into microphones. Hopefully, be entertaining. Execute a tease and a question and a highlight package or whatever. But that dude played.
Knowing that stuff, knowing what you're watching.
We spent our 10,000 hours broadcasting. He spent his 10,000 hours playing and then transitions to broadcasting. Still can be a great broadcaster, but it's that those little nuances that you get from playing the game.
Yeah,
that's why that role is so valuable.
Absolutely. Totally special.
We'll talk to Jason Benetti at 4:30. Another guy with just a couple more innings of big league play-by-play experience
just
and Speaks. But we try to quantify value of coaching. This isn't going to quantify it, but I wonder if anecdotally I could sell you on something next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.